I've entitled the sermon today, The Refiner. The Refiner. My life is spent helping people, and I enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing it. You know, when Thanksgiving comes, I realize as a pastor, between Thanksgiving and the New Year, there are so many heartaches, there are so many challenges. It's a wonderful time of the year, but at the same time, it is a challenging time of the year. Relationships and situations that maybe we wouldn't normally have to deal with, but boy, at that time, they seem to somehow pop up, and we feel the pain and some of the discomforts of life. If you'll listen today, I'm just sure that I can help you. Take your Bible and turn to Malachi chapter number 3. Please, please help me. Let's minimize the interruptions so we can maximize the Holy Spirit's attention to us and us to Him. Malachi chapter 3, maybe the best way of finding it is to find the book of Matthew and go back one book in the Bible. Malachi chapter number 3. I want you to go to verse number 1. Once you've found Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, stand with me, if you will, please. Young people, I don't want you to play. I don't want you to talk now. And if you're sitting over to my left and you've been playing and talking, now's the time to stop it. Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall set at a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years." Look back at me for just a moment. There's a process that some people have gone through, and the Bible tells us that as a result of it, they will be more pleasant unto the Lord in the end of that process. Now, let me pray for us, and then let me show you something from the Scripture Bible. Lord, bless us, and thank you for the Bible and what it means to us. Holy Spirit of God, still the people. I pray, God, that somehow we would just put our cares out of this world. May no one interrupt somebody else. May the motion and movement in this auditorium cease, and may all eyes be locked upon the Bible and the truth. Help somebody today, Lord. There's somebody here that really desperately needs this. All of us do, but somebody desperately needs the truth of today. Thank you that you tell us in the Scripture that you are the refiner. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I preached a sermon this morning that I preached prompted by an event in my life. My oldest son and his children came and spent a couple of days with my wife and I right at Christmas time. I have a grandson that is named after me. His name is Jeffrey Allen Owens III. We call him Trey. And he's a little fella and full of energy. And we had purchased him, and maybe one of the smaller gifts that we got him, didn't think was going to be a hit, but we found a little box. It looked like a piece of gold, a gold bar, gold bullion. And it's not real big, it's about 6 inches long, and it's called Gold Prospector. And I don't even know how you use it. You open this box up, and on the inside, there's a way for a little one to search for gold. And we got it. He opened it up. He was so excited. He said, "I wanted this. I wanted this. I love searching for gold. I just love searching for gold." I think all of us do. You know, if you can find it, you love searching for it. I got to thinking about that. I read it here in the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi talks about God being our refiner. And you and I, in this passage of Scripture, we are compared to a precious substance. And just the thought that God would compare you and I to a precious substance is amazing to me. really, we're a bunch of dirt. But God in the scripture will compare us to gold or to silver and something of value. And I guess somehow in God's thinking, we must have value because he sent his son. And his son died for us. So if you struggle with your self-worth, let me tell you what God thought you were worth. You were worth his son. But then he says to us in the scripture, he said, I want to refine you. And that's what this whole passage is talking about. God is comparing you and I to gold. And he calls himself in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 2, he says, he's like a refiner's fire. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, he says, and he shall set as a refiner and purifier. Our life in Christ can be purified in the crucible of the trials that you and I face in life. Let me explain to you something that will help the sermon. There's a refiner's furnace. Some would call it a kiln. It's a crucible. And what happens is a miner goes out to search for precious gold. When he finds it, at first, it's not like the beautiful ring you may have on your finger or the earring. It starts out, it's what is called gold ore, meaning you've got a piece of gold there, but it's surrounded by some rock and some dirt. And so within that rock and dirt, though, there is gold. There's a piece of gold and there's some rock attached to it and there's some dirt that attached to it. And those things are of really no value and they hinder, if you will. Then they take it and they put it into a furnace. In that furnace, there is a vat. And they turn that gold ore, they turn the fire on up underneath it. If you can just picture a great big pot. Now there's a fire under it, and they've thrown this gold that's got the rock attached to it, and it's got the dirt attached to it, and they start heating it up. As they heat it up, what happens is the impurities rise to the top, and the pure gold is heavy, it goes to the bottom. They call that rises to the top, they call that the dross. Someone comes along and they've got a big stick, it's almost a scoop, and they scoop that dross off, they throw it away, they keep heating that gold ore up. And the dross comes to the top, the impurities come to the top, they scrape that off, the pure gold stays in the bottom. And they repeat this process, and it's called a refining process. And that's exactly what God is talking about here in Malachi chapter 3. God said, you and I are the gold. And he said, I want to put you through a refining process. That all sounds good. We can get rid of our impurities, if you will. And God wants to help you and I to develop into pure gold. Oh, but the problem is there's one part of the process that is not as pleasant as the rest of this. It's the fire. It's the fire. And God said, I will use the fires of life to refine you. What is that? That's the difficulties of life. That's the hardships of life. What happens? We're placed into the vat of life. You and I were a piece of gold ore, and God is trying to refine us. And so the heat is turned on, and the dross comes to the top. And God scrapes that off, and then we go through it a little bit more. Now let me promise you something. In the end, God said, these people are going to be presented to me. They're going to be very purified. They're of greater value. But wait, there was a painful process through which the refining put them through. God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works, what sort it is. There's another purification process that takes place, but again, it has to do with fire. God wants our spiritual impurities to be taken out of our lives. He wants our prideful impurities taken out of our lives, our emotional impurities, our hidden impurities, our attitude impurities, our habit impurities, our financial impurities. God, there's a heat that we'll go through in life, and the impurities, the dross will float to the top, and it may be a rebellious impurity that needs to be taken out of our life, or a spiritual or a mental impurity. But God is the refiner. You, everybody here, there is a health and health and welfare type of a philosophy out there in the religious world that, you know, get with God and all your problems will go away. I don't see that taught anywhere in the Bible. That's not taught in the Bible. I will tell you this, get with God and He'll help you through your trials. He'll make you better because of your trials. But folks, nobody has all trials that just vanish away. So if you say, preacher, I got saved, I've been come to church, and I thought, boy, if I get right with God, I wouldn't have any heartaches anymore. I apologize whoever told you that. They sold you what we call a wooden nickel. You're still going to have heartaches, but here's the great thing. You're going to have God to help you through the heartaches. You'll see a reason for the heartaches, and you'll have a church family that can help you through the heartaches. It's not that the heartaches go away. It's that God comes and God's people come, and they help you through the heartaches, and you see a positive purpose instead of just all the negative in that heartache. But God said He's a refiner. I'm going to take that idea, and I'm going to talk to you about it for a few minutes. Let me start out by saying God is our refiner. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 2, it says, the precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the works of the hands of the potter. You see, we are His children. We are compared to that gold, and we are the work of the potter's hands, and God is the potter. Whatever has come your way, I want you to understand something. If it's a hardship, God wants to use it to refine you. Now, first of all, God wants to refine you for you, and that's okay. But you've got to understand, ultimately, God, when He is refining you, He's refining you for Him. For Him. But there's benefit in it for you too. And folks, I got to tell you something, and sometimes people have a hard time with this. Did you know God has the right to refine you? He has that right. He is God. He's God. And God is the great refiner. He's the potter, and we're the clay. You and I are the gold ore. The trials of life, that is the fire that we go through. What for? So God can mold us and make us. He's our refiner. He knows everything. He's the all-powerful one. He knows exactly what He's doing. But remember, the refiner here is God Himself. I can't refine you, and you won't refine me. Now, I might help you through the refining process, and you might help me through the refining process, but the one that is ultimately in charge of this refining, it's the great God of the universe. So He's the refiner. The second thing is this. We all need refined. We all do. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know what that said? It didn't say all of our wrongs are as filthy rags. It said all of our rights, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You say, well, compared to who? Compared to the one you're supposed to compare yourself to. That's the holy God of the universe. I mean, when I compare myself to you and you compare yourself to me, we come out okay. We're thinking, I'm not so bad compared to him. And he'll say, I'm not so bad compared to that Owens guy. You're right. But we're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. We're to compare ourselves to the Holy One, and that is God. And He said, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, it said there in Isaiah, it says, we are all as an unclean thing. Folks, the greatest Christian here still needs to be refined. There are some people here, you're great Christians. You've been around church for a long time. I'm going to have some testimonies that I want people to share in church, and I want some of you to get to know some of the people in your church. And you'd be amazed at what some people have been through and the prices they've paid to serve God. I think you'll be amazed at it. So there's some great Christians here, and there's some people who have been serving God for a long time and sacrificed a lot to serve God. But let me say to you, I don't care how long you've been serving God, and I don't care how high up the totem pole of success in the spiritual realm you have climbed, we all need refined. We all need, there are still yet impurities that need taken out of us. Those have been refined, and many of you say, I've been through some of the refining process, preacher, but we all need a little bit more. Hey, new Christian, you need to go through a refining process. It will help to clean up your life. Those of you that are older Christians, you need to go through the refining process. Parents, your kids will go through a refining process, and husbands and wives. And if you're a grandparent or you're 5 years of age, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to go through a refining process. So don't forget, God's our refiner. We all need a refining process. And let me say this. God loves you, and He refines you out of love. And folks, don't ever let the devil lie to you about this. Sometimes when we're going through a tough time, the devil will come and he'll lie to you. He'll say, well, if God loved you, you wouldn't be facing this. You know what you need to do at that point? You need to tell the devil to go back to hell where he belongs and leave you alone, because God loves you. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. And verse 10, it says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God refines our hearts. You want to know why? God cares about the heart. God has heart. Now, you're going to go through a refining process. We all need to. But that refining process that God allows you and I to go through, we go through it, and God allows it because He loves us. God carefully chooses and puts us through this refining. He wants to make us better. He's making us better for us, but He's making us better for Him ultimately. He loves you so much, He wants what's best for you. And folks, if you and I keep the impurities in our lives, that's not what's best for us. Sometimes we want to hang on to impurities. You say, but Pastor, I don't want to give up all the fun stuff. If it's sinful and it's fun stuff, it's not good for you. And God loves you, and He wants to get that out of your life. And I think everybody struggles a little bit. Oh, I have to give this up, or I have to give that up. Look, if you're giving something up for God, it's not as much sacrifice as what you think. He's really doing the best thing for you. He's got your best interest in mind. Your future prosperity demands a refining that you must go through. So when God refines, He does it because He loves us. Be careful, folks. Sometimes we want to pass judgment on each other. You see somebody that's facing a trial, or somebody that's facing a hardship, or they've had a setback in life. And if you're not careful, you'll say, God's getting them. I'd be very careful saying that. First of all, you have no idea. You are not God, and you have no idea. There are some people that are going through difficulty because God loves them in a special way, and He is refining. You say, that's it. They need refined. They may be 10 times purer than you. And so while you set at a critical stance thinking, well, that's right, God's refining them, they may be purer than you. But God in His love has allowed them to face a difficulty. And I've watched Christians pass judgment on people. I know what God's trying to do to you. Let me tell you something. The best terminology to use is you better look and see what God is trying to do for someone, not to someone. But God's a refiner, and both you and I need refined. When He goes to refine us, He does it because He loves us. I promise you, folks, God loves you. I don't know what the best thing I could say to you today is, but for some reason, my heart is very tender today. It's the beginning of the year, and I just want you to hear this. If you're facing a difficulty, and there are people in here who are, I want you to know something. God loves you. And that difficulty was not brought into your life to destroy you. It was brought into your life to help make you better. I promise you, God is not out to destroy you. God is trying to make you. And so let me say number four, God knows that sometimes our hardness prevents our refining. Well, if we get hard, it makes it harder to get through this process. In Psalm chapter 95, verse number 8, it says, harden not your hearts. Now listen, if we harden our hearts, we make it, you know, let's face it, the harder the impurity, the more work it takes to get rid of it. It said in that verse, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. God warns us not to let our hearts become hard. You can't mold hard clay. And if you're hard toward God, He'll have a hard time molding you. He's got to soften that gold. He's got to soften that silver. He's got to soften that clay. That softening comes through a process. But if you make yourself hard, the refining becomes harder. So I think there's sometimes God would be refining us, and it wouldn't have to be as painful, but because you and I become hard-hearted about it, we make it harder on ourselves. You know, if you attempt to mold something that's been hard, you can get to the point where there's some breaking that goes on. Now, you know something? I don't think God wants to break you. I think He wants to make you. But if you're so hard-hearted, the Bible uses the word stiff-necked, you're so hard to get along with, and God prompts you, and you won't listen, and you hear in the preaching something that you should have done, and God was trying to soften your heart, and you just rebel against it, and you won't come around, and God said, well, I want to fix this in you, but you just won't hold still. You're squirming everywhere, and you're hard-hearted about it. Don't be shocked if something doesn't get injured a little bit somewhere along the way or broken along the way. But it's not because that was God's plan. We struggle against it. See, God wants to melt down your hard heart. And He wants to scrape off that dross. Sometimes our pride fights against it. So we make the purification process harder on ourselves. Not because God wanted it to be harder. Let me say this, number five. God softens His people in the furnace of affliction. When hardship comes, God has a way of using it to soften us. In Jeremiah 9:7, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? God needs you and I to be pliable. He melts us to mold us. God needs to soften your heart. God needs to soften your attitude. God needs to soften that stiff neck. Some, you need your spirit softened. Let me ask you a question. To everybody in the house, are you truly soft toward God? What does it take for God to get a tear out of your eye? What does it take for God to truly get your spiritual attention about something? How many promptings? How many times do you brush it off and think it's for somebody else and that wasn't for me? And how many times does God have to try to get your attention? Look, folks, you need to let God soften your heart and be soft toward Him, soft toward God's will. You know, there's some of you, you're very soft toward what you think the will for your life is, but you need to be soft toward what God thinks the will for your life is. Do you have a soft heart toward God? Listen, you know, hardship, do you know hardship, it tenderizes. You say, what? Hardship tenderizes? Absolutely. You ever take a piece of meat and you want to tenderize that meat? What do you do to it? Beat it. Amen. You beat it. And you say, ah, I like it. You know, well, when you eat that piece of steak, and it's so soft that it melts in your mouth, you say, that is delicious. Do you think the meat thought that was fun? Do you know that you knead bread before you bake it? It has something to do. And kneading, you know what you're doing? You're strangling that bread. I mean, if you're kneading with your hand, what are you doing, ladies? You're taking that stuff and you're squeezing it and you're twisting it. That's strangling. You're strangling the bread. The bread gets strangled, but it comes out the other end. And boy, nothing like it. That fresh bread cooking and the way it smells. Yeah, sure. You aerate your lawn. And what is that? You're poking holes in your grass. You ever seen an aerator? They have them on a big roller, and it's got all these, like, looks like spikes, and you're out there rolling that thing along. But what happens, boy, it makes it so that the moisture can get in there and it fills out that grass. But there's pain involved in getting that beautiful, plush yard that you want. You want the meat tender, there's a process that you go through. You want the bread to cook and to cook right, there's a kneading process that it goes through. And I'm not rejoicing with you because I'm a part of this process too. And the great God of the universe said the human race, they've got impurities. And some of them they brought on themselves, and some they don't even really notice them. But God said, I am the refiner, and I'll do this gently. And God said, everybody needs refined. And He said, I'm going to refine you and help you because I love you. Well, you got to be careful that you don't become hard during this refining process. So God tries to keep us soft during the refining process. But there's a little bit of pain that's involved in it. Number six, God knows the hotter the fire, the faster the refining process. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to you. Here it's talking about the fiery trials that they were going through at that time. Folks, God wants to purify you and me. And to purify us, He wants to do it as painlessly as possible, but there's going to be some heat that you're going to come under. You're going to go through the fire some. And understand something. If there's a lot of purification that He wants to put you, help you to achieve, then there's going to be a little bit more heat, a little more fire in your life. But that fire, it purifies. It purifies your gold, if you will, your potential, if you will, God's plans for you, if you will. But if you say, Pastor, I feel like I am really under the fire, I'm in the fire right now, understand something. That's not there to destroy you. It's there to make you. It can make you stronger. It can make you more usable. Let me go on. Number seven. Did you know that fire that they put that gold ore through, it increases the gold's value? It makes it of greater value. In Malachi 3:3 it says, and he shall set at a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. So he said, I'm going to put these people through a refining process. I'm going to help purify them, but they're going to be pleasant to the Lord as a result of this refining. Now, the fact that we go through a refining is proof that we are finer at the end of the refining process. He is making us into fine gold, if you will. But God is trying to increase our value. If handled properly, the hardship that you're going through can increase your value. I happen to believe that it spiritually. I also believe it even to, if you want to call it secularly. You go through hardships out there in the world. You go through hardships. You know, businessmen, and where everything is always going well for them, they're not always the best trained people. You know, what makes for a good technician, somebody that's had to fix all sorts of broken things, and hey, every once in a while somebody's broken all sorts of things. I enjoyed, when I was younger, I used to do a lot of work on my own cars. One, because I was poor and I couldn't afford to have it done. But you know, I learned how to take an engine apart and put it back together. And I've had a couple engines that I took them apart, put them back together, and when I was done, there were parts left over. I remember the time that my dad said the problem with your car is your timing chain, and they now have belts, but it had a timing chain on it. And Dad said you need to change your timing chain. So I got my Chilton's manual out. Y'all remember Chilton's? And I got my Chilton's manual out, and I was looking at point one and on point two, and I tore that the front end. It was a terrible engine. It was a 307 Chevy. It was a 1970 Nova. That engine burnt oil and had all sorts of problems. But I tore the front end of that engine all the way off. I thought I did everything right. I put it back together, and it was still backfiring. I was having problems with it, and I said, Dad, I don't know what the problem is. And I really thought my dad was going to come out and help me fix it. I said, Dad, what do I do? He said, I'm going to tell you what you do. You take it apart and start over again. I don't want to do that. I said, then fine, leave it set. Don't have a car. I said, I'll do it. I'll take it apart. I took it apart, and I had just not put the gear back on right. And then I put it all the way back together. You know something? By the time I was done with that thing, I was very good at taking the front end of a 307 engine apart and putting it back together. I knew where every nut went, every bolt went. I knew what was supposed to happen, and I knew which way that gear was supposed to go on. There was a spindle that gear went on, and I had flipped it around. And with a timing gear, you just don't do stuff like that. Everything's got to be just right. Any of you know what I'm talking about? It didn't matter how good I got with that timing light. I hated those old-fashioned lights here looking down in there, and some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. Somebody say amen. I was looking down in there, and that old light was a flickering. I was trying to watch everything line up, and my dad said, doesn't matter how good you are with that light, if you don't put that gear on right, it's not gonna time up right. You know, you may find that sometimes some of the hardships that even some of you go through, you know, you're getting smarter because of some of those things. You're increasing in value. I started in the church. I started preaching when I was 16 years of age. And you know, I've been a part of almost every kind of ministry there is in the church, and I've worked at it and did it and failed and did it and succeeded. After all these years, I know a few things about building a church. And you say, where'd you get your experience? A lot of it came from not doing so well. You know, if you fail and 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 you fail, sooner or later you're going to figure out how to do it. I am going to be brilliant someday. But even in life, sometimes the trials that we go through, not even speaking spiritually, the trials that we go through can help us to become better. And I'm not saying let's go fail so that we can get experience, but I am telling you, your failures can lead to your successes if you'll just let them. But in the spiritual life, it's very much that way. If properly handled, your hardships will increase your value. God is multiplying your value, your character's value. He's upgrading you. Some of you, God is upgrading you as a father, and He's upgrading you as a mother, and He's upgrading you as a son or a daughter or as a Christian or as a grandparent. God's upgrading you. You say, how's He doing it? It may be through some of your trials. It may be through some of your failures. And I don't want you to fail, and I don't think you want me to fail. But if you do, we can look at that, and we can be mad about the failure, or we can say, I can grow from that. I can increase from that. God increases our value through the fires of life. But not only that. Sometimes it takes several trips through the fire to get the gold where they want it. In Psalm 12:6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, God is saying, I purified my words seven times. In other words, they purified and then purified again and then purified. God is insisting on the purity of the Word of God. I happen to believe in our day and age in reference to the King James Bible. But let me tell you this. You say, well, Pastor, I went through a trial in a given area of life. Don't be shocked if you don't have a chance to go through another trial in that very same area of life. You say, why? Sometimes it takes more than one purification process to get you where God wants you. And I think we all, you take it with, if you're a parent, there are certain parenting skills that you need when your child is an infant. But when your child is ready to go off to school, your life is about to change. And you're going to need some more guidance. But then when your child leaves grade school and goes into their teenage years, you're going to need drugs to calm yourself. I'm telling you, at every level of child rearing, there are new things to learn. And I think this, I think parents, and when your children are in the infant stage, God's going to put you through some trials, and that's going to grow you. But then you say, well, I think I know what I need to know about child rearing. Let me tell you something. I've watched all sorts of parents that have infants, or you know, 3, 4, 5-year-olds, and those parents look down their nose at folks rearing teenagers. Oh, if that was my kid, they wouldn't be acting like that. Yeah, yours is 3 right now, and you really think you have a handle on the market, you might want to back off and relax a little bit, because when yours is 16, you're going to be at a totally different era in your life. It's not as easy as it looks. For some of you, the scariest part of you is you may reap what you sowed. And your parents are going to be sitting in the background going, look at what they're going through. I remember what they did to me. But don't be shocked if you don't go through the fire more than once. It's part of what happens in the gold purification process. And then God does not put us through the furnace to waste our potential. That's not what he's doing. The Bible says in Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It is the dross that God is eliminating. Young people, and some of you that are younger Christians, listen to me. Let me tell you something. You see, I get into church and there are things that are being taken out of my life. I'm losing all these things. Let me tell you, all you're doing is losing dross. You're losing impurities. You're losing the dirt. You're losing the dirt. You're losing the stuff that'll hurt you. I got saved when I was 16 years of age. I'm 56. God has never taken anything from me that I wasn't better off when he got done than when he started. There are times when I might have felt cheated a little bit. Well, that wasn't my fault. That wasn't God's fault. It was mine. I wasn't seeing it right. So remember, the dross is God taking the impurities away. God is not a potential destroyer. He's a potential fulfiller. You say, my burden though, preacher, it's going to destroy me. No, your burden does not. God would never put a burden on you that's there to destroy you, which means you have the strength to get through this. May be hard, may be lonely. You may be pushed to the very edge, but you can make it through it and you can become better because of it, because that is God's plan. God won't keep you in the fire any longer than what you need to be there. God knows when to back off. He knows what you need. You will face no purifying that you cannot handle. Remember, he's making you more usable. Now, I want to tell you something just so you know. If God is trying to get something out of your life, if God is trying to purify your life, can I recommend something to you? Let him. Let him. Because if God is putting you through the fire, and you're fighting against it, and you're not letting it purify you, you'll get put back in the fire. You say, well, I'll just leave this church. You can leave me, but you can't leave God. He said, but you reminded me of it. Okay, somebody else is going to remind you of it later. You can run, but you can't hide. I learned this from my father. When it was time for me to be corrected, I could run, but I would sooner or later be found. And I also learned this. I was better off being still while he was talking to my backside. Parents, you know what I'm saying? Make the target approachable. If not, if he gets off target, dead sure isn't his fault. I'm the one that moved the target. I'll tell y'all, in your Christian life, if God is wanting to correct, he's wanting to purify, he's wanting to discipline, and you struggle all over the place, or you run, or you try to hide, and you say, nah, 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 you can't find me. You know, God knows exactly. He gave you the power to say, nah, 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 nah. He created your lips and your brain. It might be puny, but he created it. So let me say, don't try to jump out of the pot and run. Let God purify you. Because if it's not taken care of the first time, we'll go through the second time. And if you won't let him fix you the second time, he can put you through it the third time. It's no problem. You say, why would he do that to me? Now that you missed it. He's not doing it to you. He's doing it for you. He's the refiner. That's what he does. He loves you. He wants to take the dirt out of our lives. And so he's chosen that some of those be fiery trials. When they come, they're not there to hurt us. Let's minimize the trials by become moldable, have a good attitude. Let's get through this. You say, do I have to like it? No, if you're not going to, I don't think any of us like the trials. But I love the God that's chosen the trial. And I'm going to keep my eyes on him and believe he has my best interest in mind. And if you'll do that, as he said he is like a refiner's fire. He's a purifier. He said, then we can be presented to God and we'll be exactly what he wants us to be. Now, when I do, and when I go through the refiner's fire the right way, it helps me. But boy, is it what is best for God. If you say, Pastor, I don't see anything that I'm going to get out of going through this fiery trial in my life. Okay, if you don't see anything for you, just know this. There's something in it for God. There's something in it for God. He knows what he's doing. This is hard to believe. He wants better for you than what you want for yourself. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. He's the refiner, a purifier. And in this case, it's through hardship, challenges, struggles, heartaches, heartbreaks. But he wants to refine us. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Answer this question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, I don't know that. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I do not know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. Then let me ask this. Would someone here say, Pastor, I think I needed maybe to be reminded today. Or maybe today I just needed to hear what was said about the hardships and the trials of life and how God loves me and is refining me as I go through them. God has definitely spoken to my heart today in this service. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, lots of hands. You may put your hand down. If you need the altar, maybe you need to come. Maybe some of you have tended toward getting maybe a little upset with God, or you're trying to figure it out and you're a little... I meet some people that get angry with God. You say, well, am I going through this? I might not be able to answer why, but I can tell you this. God loves you. He's refining. That's all. Just refining. He knows what he's doing. You might need a moment at this altar. You might need to come up here and maybe give in to God a little bit and say, God, I'm not saying I like what I'm going through, but God, I will have the right attitude. I see you're doing what's best. Somehow, I trust you, God, that you know what you're doing in my life. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Do you need to come for just a moment and say, God, help me. Strengthen me through the difficulty. I'm facing a trial. I need your help in that trial. I need your help. I'm going through a hardship, and I want you to purify me, God. I want you to help me get better because of that hardship. God, make me a better person because of my hardship. God, help me to have a good attitude as I go through a hard thing. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've not made it public, we certainly will help you to do that. If you've been saved, you've been baptized by immersion after your salvation, the next step is to join the local New Testament church. It's a very advisable thing to do. I recommend to you that you do that. The refiner. He makes us finer. He increases our value. But it's through hardship. He does it because he loves us. The harder we are, the harder it is to get refined. Keep your heart soft. And sometimes the more fire we face, the greater the refining process, and the greater the benefits. It increases our value. It may take more than one trip through the fire. God knows what he's doing. He's not destroying your potential. He's getting rid of dirt. He's getting rid of things that are not best. He's a potential builder, not a potential destroyer. When it's time to come out of the fire, God will take you out. He knows what He's doing. That fiery process makes us usable. You know, if God tried to put you through the fire so you ran from Him and got out of church, got away from the will of God, away from where you ought to be with God, and you escaped it, let me tell you something. You are going to get that process. You're going to have to go through it. God's not going to, He loves you too much to not have you go through that. So it's coming. Just get right with God. Let Him help you through it. This is the last time through the song. Won't be long, we'll be on our way. He's a refiner. You'll be better because of the hardship. It wasn't there to destroy you, it was there to make you.